To be there. You really verse 14 declares here, they derided Jesus. They stuck up their nose.
Look on the next gate down, that's 1853.
And the next date, 1851, had 4 street addresses on that one building. So maybe they have dedicated 1855 to the church Anaheim. But they still practice the unification move. This doctrine, this teaching, this brainwashing. And it is one of Boone's churches. So it's a justifiable thing. They'll justify anything to promote their ideas. Now, we as missionary Baptist preachers, we aren't careful, we'll get into the same rut, justifying a move. Because we'll say that the ultimate goal will justify this move. You can't keep a pure, undefiled religious, that is, practice, or, you know, religiously practicing a thing. You can't keep that pure by defiling it or polluting it with anything, even a very significant thing, insignificant thing. It will go into a vast complexity of things before you know it. It gets out of hand. So, you watch a little child. You tell a little child if you pick that ashtray up again on a coffee table and bounce it back down, I'm going to thank you. And they'll look you right in the eye. Go right back to it, and they'll pick it up and drop it, and if you don't thank them, they'll do it again.
Amen.
And missionary Baptist preachers practice things just like that. They go just as far as they can go. And the churches sometimes are embarrassed to call them down because they have visitors that day. And the pastor knows this. Got some visitors. They'll leave me alone today. He's going to start promoting things right quickly, you know. And then he'll pull the devil's collection style, you know. He'll pull out some money out of his pocket. I'll give $10. Who'll come on? I want to give the first $10. Who'll match it? Who'll come on and give some more? That's the devil's power.
Amen.
Sure, it's just a show, as of a loudmouth pauper, and Frank North told about how many millions of dollars they collected there, Dallas, and he got the same $10 back. Fred just gave it back to the industry, but look at the money he got, but he didn't know. Well, this is the way the devil promotes things. He uses the leaders. Uses the leaders, and we are no exception. He'll use us because we in the Lord's churches does not set us aside and make an exception out of us. We're right where the devil wants us to be if he can use us. And he will. He'll use you every time. The devil's religion is to be seen of men. Be seen of men. And our sermon texts today are really racking it up on how you speak words, how you use a facial expression, how you dress, all of that junk. And I could just be reminded of an old boy wrapped in the old camel hair garb with a leather girdle around his gut with locust stain and wild honey on his teeth, and his breath possibly was stinted. He used all manner of eloquency when he said, "You generation of pipers, who has warned you to the wrath of God that has come? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance." Now that's a biblical example, and it versus what missionary Baptists are hanging on to today. I know what schools teach on how to be eloquent. I don't even know the definition of the word yet. I doubt if they do teach it, but anyhow, you. But our examples, even by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're the Father, your Father was dead. Isn't a beautiful expression to use today? And people will say, "Oh, you got a bad heart." Oh, it's got a wicked heart. They talk bad. They use bad expressions. I see it at the class yesterday. We have 26 churches in the Bartholomew Association in Southeast Arkansas that were held from going with the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 30s by a red-headed Irishman who looked mad, he preached mad, he was mad all the time, but he held, he salvaged 26 churches just about single-handedly with God. There, it's called the Bartholomew Association. Old red-headed Morgan was his name. And he turned red when he spoke. Spit, spewed, stomped, and screamed. He really went at it. But he fought hard. He'd go to the churches, missionary Baptist churches that had Southern Baptist pastors, and say to that church, elect me to preach for you today. They would. And he'd preach Southern Baptist preachers out of them. Preach the Southern Baptist preacher out of the Crossroads Church, out of Egypt Church. He didn't preach one out of Promised Land. Brother Powers was in there. He couldn't be moved. He wasn't a Southern Baptist anyhow. Preached one out of the West Crossroads Church. He had a job on his hand. And people would say, why are you so mad all the time? But he had a job to do. And it made him mad. Made him mad that churches would invite the pulpit affiliation. It made him mad that they even go for an open communion. Some did, brother. I mean, practically. Our churches adopted at West Crosses when I joined it. We had a pastor said they had to start to have open communion. He said, do you believe in open communion or a closed communion here? I said, closed. Clyde Little, he's going to Beach Street Church up there now, was a fine brother. He said, well, we practiced it both ways. I said, you did. There ain't no more. I mean, that's finished. That's gone. And our pastor practiced closed communion, preached closed communion. I guess he had an open communion sermon. But he preached closed communion that day. First ask, you know. Well, preachers, the devil's preachers are those who want to be seen. You know what it is to make a flash, don't you? It's a one-time deal. Throw a rock in the water and watch it. 2 minutes later, you can't tell where it is. That's the devil's preacher. Justify themselves before men. It's called soapbox religion. Got something to sell. No closet praying that will glorify God in the church. No consecration before God. Lovers of men more than God. Make loud noises. These loud noises will devour the poor, the meek, and many times the elect. Can't get a voice because of the loud noises. The people sit silent and will not revolt because of the loud noise. They'll say, maybe I am in ignorance and won't get up and won't speak and permit things to take place that shouldn't. Secondly, the devil's religion pushes morality instead of faith. In other words, they shut out the throne and they live among themselves. They shut out the people because the people are filthy, the people are dirty. They say, we'll live among ourselves. I get asked of my wife much because she won't know a telephone number of one of the members. And that's my own information center. And I'll tell her, if you love that member, you'd have the number. I don't have to tell her to take numbers down of those she's attracted to. That's an honest statement. But those that she's not attracted to, she won't take the numbers down. You might check your own valve. See how many you have. And who you don't have. But Matthew 21 and 31, publican and harlot go in ahead of the Pharisees. They'll be seen ahead of the Pharisees. Many of us pastors are faced with Satan's lot of times, problems to be so far behind. Our own church members won't even know who they are to be so far ahead of us before the judgment seat of Christ. If it's lined up that way, as a figure of speech. But in recognition before God, because we sound off, we get praise, we clean up ourselves, we don't have to go out and associate with the people our members associate with all day long, or 8 hours, listening to their filthy jokes, listening to them cut your religion in pieces and make fun of you because you actually read your Bible on your break hour or period, and make all manner of noises that would call you a holy Joe or something of this nature. The preachers don't have to put up with that. The people do. And then if one should happen to make a slur at the preacher, he'll yell back at him, God will have you in judgment. I'm his man. Can't talk to me that way. They talk to the Lord that way. Amen. They talk to you, the church members, that way. And so, what to set the preacher aside? Preacher can usually be a Pharisee without trying.
Amen.
You can be one real quickly. That's the devil's type of religion. Today, the morals, I don't know what all happened. Boys started wearing long hair and beards, and the pulpit went nuts. Well, not a one of those boys who wore long hair said anything about me wearing a jarhead cut. I've worn a jarhead haircut all my life. But it's the way I wore it. It's not their business how I wear my hair, and it's not my business how you wear yours. Actually wore more beard than we had a left of the stage after me. So why get wrapped up with these things? That's not the faith to begin with, but the devil really promotes it. He tries his dead level best to tell the women how long or how short they should wear their skirts. That's the devil's business. I'll tell you, preachers, that old gal really rejoices when she knows she got you to notice what she was advertising. And when you're fool enough to mention it, be satisfied. I got him to notice. Praise God. He looked at me. He's going ahead on a skirt too short. You can be a fool like that and be the devil you right there. He can glorify himself. God can't get glory out of the length of a skirt or the length of a hair. But in the church, he's glorified. The faith must be true. The devil's religion pushes negative good news. I don't do that. I don't think like these things the other people do. I thank the Lord that I'm not like this other man over here. Or then we'll describe an old pot drunkard, you know. But to really glorify ourselves and say, but for the grace of God, that's me, Lord, say. God help us to realize how we are used by the devil. Want to be seen and heard. Who cares a rip about you anyhow? Who gives a rip about me? Nobody cares whether we are by the grace of God or not. But Jesus Christ is the truth.
Amen.
He is the gospel. Preach him. Preach him. Fellow falling around all the time. I believe this with all my heart. That's supposed to put a sanctified seal on the thing. All there is a devil sounding off. And I don't care if you use it every day, I still say the same thing. The devil is sounding off. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're not here to preach our own statement, but we're here to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Word of God. If you preach it with conviction, people will soon get the idea you believe it anyhow.
Amen.
Nobody yells, then they'll stop and say, and I want to call your attention to this. I want you to look through the scriptures with me today. I want you to read for this with me here this past. They know you want to, or you wouldn't be up there. But the devil pushes that personal pronoun right out your mouth. I want. Somebody get up and sing a song. I feel this song is a blessing to me. Pray for me as I try to sing this song. God help us. About as bad as a preacher. Say, y'all pray for me while I bring this message. That is. You pray for me while I bring this message. Bless your heart, they already paid you to do it. You're supposed to have your head in the Word to study to get it out. What's he trying to do? Be seen. Show humility. That's what your humility is. I'm humble. Y'all pray for me. For to pray all the time. If God saves us all, why didn't God really bless our service that day? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, lo, I'm in the midst thereof. What greater blessing can you have than that? Some people don't even know the Lord. That's the reason they have to see a soul off now before they can shed a tear or say, praise the Lord. God's just as far away from them as the east is from the west. Wouldn't recognize him if he's preached for 1,000 years. Have to see somebody walk the aisle before they get to rejoice. Oh boy, let's wrap it up now. Hallelujah. Somebody got saved, you know. Well, there's probably 1,000 getting saved that same minute by the preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
All over the country. We could just have 3,000 souls saved today. And like they did on Pentecost, brother, they were right with God. How many of the priests have lied? They were really right with God on Pentecost, and if we were right with God like they were, then 3,000 souls could be saved today. You check out the Lord's church and see maybe 10,000 be saved today. Check them out. You're not the only church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Check them out. Gospel being preached a lot of places. Around the world being preached, souls being saved everywhere. Possibly a few more than 3,000 in one Sunday. Could be. Yeah, I'm not like these other people. Yeah, I'm good. God wants positive preaching. He wants positive preaching. And he doesn't want negative like. I won't do that. That's casting judgment. I won't do it. Others did, but I won't do it. Well, let's look a little further. This is full of deep short. The devil's religion pushes legal religion. Well, Matthew 19 and 16, all these things have I done from my youth up. Yeah, I kept the law from my youth up. Well, Romans, by the work of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Amen.
I'm good. I don't sin. Well, the devil's religion makes us simply seek God's approval our way. Seek God's approval our way. Shape him up the way he wants. God always answers my prayer. Yep. That's part of our testimony. Thank God he always answers my prayer. I got saved. How many mountains had to move? Lord is not just a yes, Lord. He may be a no, Lord. And Lord, bless old brother so and so and include you, Uncle Jim. They're in a hospital. You know, Lord, they got a heart attack. Bless them. Then wind up saying, give it your will, Lord, restore. Your prayer. If you keep your prayer line caught up at home, there won't be much left to pray for when you get to church.
Amen.
I stated yesterday, the old Negro preacher that Brother Kirkland interviewed while trying to get up material for writing a sermonizing book, he said, what's your success? And you have 4,500 in Sunday school here on Sundays, but I know you're successful. It's obvious. What is your success? And he's a very unlearned man, uneducated, but a great preacher. He said, well, when I get up Sunday morning, I praise up. And then I studies up. And then I goes to church and I stands up. And then I speaks up. And then I shuts up. The man was pointing all of his activities to achieve one thing, and that was the preaching of the gospel. Another one said, I reads my text, and I announces my subject, then I argifies it, or splanifies it, and then I argifies it, and then I puts on arousement. Yeah, that's not homiletical, is it? You don't find that in your homiletics, do you? But you beat it. You come up with a better solution. Best form of outlining there is. Another one says, I tell them what I'm going to tell them about my subject, and then I tell them, and then I tell them what I already done told them. That's pretty good summation, isn't it? Well, you can find God's ministers in simplicity, where the devil's ministers are the most profound speakers in the world. Great, loud, swelling words come from their mouths, possibly from throats that are open submerged. You must keep your sense and pride in order to avoid the devil's business. The Savior is still the same one that declared he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And he didn't say, if you arrange your sermons right. But if you make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age or world. That's a promise, and it's the truth. We can reject the crime world and say we're just going to preach the gospel. But brethren, and I've heard many times, Brother Kirkland was asked many times, what to preach when you're called on to go to a revival? He said, who knows? Who knows what to preach? You make a survey and a fast observation of the situation at that church, and then you get busy. You go to work and you do your best to give them what they need at that time. For that reason, I don't ever take a sermon outline with me to hold a revival. I'm afraid I'll forget
to search out the need of the Lord's church wherever it is, and just go ahead preaching what I like to preach. The devil sure can get a hold of you if you aren't careful. He'll make you like others. Ain't none of you like me, thank God for that. You don't want to be, and I hope you never are, because it isn't a pleasant condition to get in. But it's the only condition I've found that doesn't work. You find yours, get in there, and you work the way you can. The description is, the devil has the richest fields. He has more for which to set his stewards over, and he has more to show you of accomplishments. And he'll make you eat your heart right out. One person came out of our church building one Sunday and said, well, I belong to a little church in San Francisco. She's just a little girl, but she's honest. I've belonged to a little church in San Francisco. I didn't think there's one smaller than it anywhere in the world, but this one is. Yeah, I bet you I'm a lot larger than her pastor, but I had a little church. He make you eat yourself up, or you'll die. But remember this, he went all the way across the Sea of Galilee and ministered to one Gadarean.
Amen.
Did a great work, because it was the right work, true work. Doesn't matter how many you have, how few you have, they need the gospel. They need to be strengthened in the faith. The devil knows how wrong it is to dress incorrectly. The devil knows how wrong it is to drink, gamble, cuss, connive around. That's the devil's business, to make everybody know. There's not a person in the building doesn't know what sin is. They know that. They're guilty of it. And if we can get them to establish themselves in the faith, then sin will have to take a back door.
Amen.
It'll have to take second place, third, somebody. It'll have to be gone. So that's not the devil's type preaching, though. He wants something for himself. He has himself at interest. Make himself a name, justify his own abomination. But the people are the ones that are to be fed. Give them the word of God. The devil just had to scream. Just had to go. But James said, when you submit yourself unto God, then you're in a position to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So that's number one. Get your people to submit unto God. And they will when they know who God is.
Amen.
As they know it, as they're getting acquainted with it, they'll be submitting themselves to feed them the word of God and shun the devil's usury. You could do it. Thank you.
Amen.